All right, open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. And then we are going to go to the book of Galatians. And then we are going to end in the book of Acts. But we begin in Ephesians chapter 2. Two verses, verses 8 and 9. I always read from the King James text. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me read it again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are basically only two versions of what brings salvation. There are many variances of the second version. But there, when you cut it down to the marrow, it's the same version. There's only two versions of how to be saved. One, we are saved by grace through faith, minus and plus nothing. The other version, we are saved by works. Now, various people have various interpretations of what work means. For some it may mean baptism. For some it may mean speaking in tongues. For some it may mean church membership. For some it may mean other things. But it still works salvation. They are teaching that man must obtain or earn salvation by something they do or do not do. And of course, the cults among us all have works salvation as a part of their theology, every single one of them. So either you believe what the Bible says, that we are saved by grace through faith, or you believe that we are saved by works, by merit, by achievement. Those who teach salvation by works are teaching a false gospel. They are teaching heresy. They are teaching religious error. They are false teachers. I don't care what they call themselves. Doesn't matter how sincere they seem to be. If they are teaching a works-based salvation, they are not teaching the truth of the gospel, and they are false teachers. I truly believe that a part of the problem that we're dealing with today, with all the things that we've dealt with here recently at Liberty Fellowship, and some of the things that I've addressed relative to that, I believe this part of the discussion is also very much a reality and a major part of the problem. We are dealing with people that believe in works salvation. They are not saved. They're teaching a false gospel. And they are confusing the hearts of many, many, many innocent people. The damage that they are doing in our country cannot be overestimated or overstated. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Galatians. And I'm going to go through the book of Galatians, not quite in its entirety, but I will definitely go through the majority of this book. And the reason I do it is because the book of Galatians was written specifically to address this problem. The problem in the churches of Galatia was that the Judaizers were inside the church, claiming to be Christians. And then they were doing their very best to take disciples from within the churches of Galatia into the works-based religion of Judaism. They were demanding that the people of the churches of Galatia be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And they were saying that if they were not circumcised, they really couldn't be saved. And that circumcision, the mandate of Old Testament circumcision, was part of the gospel. And it was causing havoc inside the churches of Galatia. These Judaizers were convincing Christians by the scores and hundreds to follow them into their works-based half-and-half theology of half-Christian and half-Judaism, but works-based salvation. Paul addressed the churches at Galatia in this letter. The emphasis was the fallacy of works-based salvation. He was explaining in great detail and with great passion the necessity of the church to hold true to the gospel that we are saved by grace through faith minus and plus nothing. He was repudiating in no uncertain terms the Judaizers who were preaching works-based salvation. And he was imploring the Christians in the churches to hang together in the gospel and to not allow themselves to be influenced by these work-based false teachers. That's the whole purpose of the book of Galatians. The entire book deals with this subject, and I want us to look at much of the book as we go through our address with you today. We're going to start in chapter 2 and verse 16. Now, it's very important that you open your Bible with me and you read it with me. I want you to see the words themselves. I want you to see the clarity of them. I want you to see the conviction of them. And I believe that when we finish this book, you will understand that salvation is, as we read in Ephesians, by grace through faith, that it's not of works. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, keeping the Ten Commandments, ladies and gentlemen, will not save your soul. In the first place, you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. You cannot do it. But the attempt at keeping them will not save you. Could it be any clearer? The very first verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Can that be any plainer? You are not justified by keeping the Ten Commandments or the rest of the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments is just an encapsulation of the 633 commands that God gave to the nation of Israel under Moses. When we talk about the commandments, people usually think of the Ten Commandments because those are the ones that we're most familiar with, and those are the ones that God chose to use to summarize the entire Old Testament law. But there were 633 commands that God gave to Israel. And you are not going to be saved, your soul is not going to be saved by keeping those 10 or 633 commands that God gave to Moses. A man is not justified by the works of the law. And if you are depending on your works to get you to heaven, dear friend, you are not going to make it. You're not going to be there. Works cannot save you. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can it be any plainer? We are not saved by the works of the law. Verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. In other words, no matter how much you try to keep the law, guess what? You're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. Is Christ the minister of sin, therefore? If the law can save you, if keeping the law can save you, if by your works can save you, guess what? You're still a sinner. Is Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. By saying that we are saved by the law, by saying that we are saved by works, we are destroying everything Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection. You're destroying everything he did. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. The law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We are, through Christ, we are dead to the law, and we are alive unto God. Christ made us alive, not through the law, but through his death, burial, and resurrection, and our faith in him. That is what gives life, not the law. I am crucified with Christ. When Jesus died, he died for me. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you can earn your salvation by your works through the law, Christ died for nothing. Why did Jesus die? If you could save yourself through the law. Why did Jesus die? If you could earn your salvation through your good works, why did he die? He died because we are sinful people. He died because we cannot save ourselves. He died because the law cannot save us. He died because he's the only one who could. Go to chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, those of you who say you're earning your salvation through your works, as many are of the works of the law, are under the curse. The people that are looking to the law for salvation are not finding salvation. What they're finding is a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let me read that again. Cursed is everyone that continueth, constantly continues, all the time, every day, every hour, every moment, every second, continueth all the time, not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you break the law once, you are doomed to the curses of the law. If you don't keep the law perfectly, constantly, you are a transgressor, you're a lawbreaker, and you fall under the curses of the law. James chapter 2 verse 10 say, if we keep the whole law and offend in one point, we are guilty of the whole law. People who look to their works and to the keeping of the law for salvation, they don't realize that many of them, but what they are doing is cursing themselves. Because there is not a person among us who is able to keep the law perfectly, constantly, all the time. There's only been one person that ever walked this earth that did that, and that was the sinless Son of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did it for us because we cannot do it ourselves. And our sins were placed upon Him on the cross, and He died in our place and rose from the dead for our justification because we are not able to save ourselves by the keeping of the law. Could Paul be any plainer? Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. They might be justified in their own sight or in the sight of their friends, but they are not justified in the sight of God, those who are trying to live by the law to save them. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is, if you break the law in one point, you are damned. The curse of the law is, if you don't keep it, you die. And no man or woman ever has. And if you, next time you hear a man say that he has kept the law perfectly, just talk to his wife. And you will find out quickly. He has not kept the law perfectly. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through what? Through faith. Not through the law. Through faith. Look at verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law of Moses, that's always what he's referring to. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. If it's through the law, it's not through the promise given to Abraham. But God gave to Abraham the promise by faith. Wherefore then serveth the law? Verse 19. Wherefore serveth the law? What's the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Okay, who is the seed that came according to the promise given to Abraham? Who was the seed? Jesus. Come on, everybody. Who's the seed? Jesus. The law was added because of transgression until the seed should come whom the promise was made, Christ. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there was a law that was capable of giving life, then the law that God gave to Moses would have given life. The problem is there is no such law that can give life. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that obey the Ten Commandments. What does it say? Them that believe. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by, say it, faith. The law is a schoolmaster. The law is a teacher. To teach us what? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To teach us that Christ so loved the world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To show us that we cannot be saved by our works. To show us that we are unable to keep the law, that the law cannot save us, and that Christ came to do what the law could not do. Save our souls. The law is a schoolmaster. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. People that are trying to live by the law for the purpose of obtaining salvation are living outside the faith of Christ. They are placing themselves back under a law before the the Lord Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. They are going back positionally. They are going back to a place before Jesus ever died for our sins. That's how unscriptural these works-based doctrines are. That's how deluded these works-based people are. They're living as if Jesus never died. They're living as if the fulfillment of the law has never been accomplished. And that all that Jesus did for us on the cross has not taken place. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Who are the seed of Abraham since Jesus came and created his body, the church? Who are the seed of Abraham? We are. Everyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, regardless of race or religion, or ethnicity, or nationality. We are all one in Christ. We are all Abraham's seed. Don't let anybody tell you, therefore, that a particular nation or a particular race is the seed of Abraham. Balderdash! I like that word. Say it again. Balderdash! We are the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. In other words, here is a minor child who, when he becomes of age, is going to inherit his father's estate. But until he reaches that age, he has no inheritance. He is as a servant. He has no more position or station in the inheritance as the servant in the house until he reaches that age. And then he would be the lord of the estate. Even so we, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. Children here, he's referring to the works-oriented Judaizers. He's calling them children. They have a lack of understanding. They have a lack of truth. They have a lack of acumen relative to what God has done. They are ignorant, uneducated children. And they're in bondage under the elements of this world. I'm gonna get this in a little bit. Liberty Fellowship, as our name implies, is very much about liberty. We are never going to see a revival of liberty in this country as long as our churches and our pastors are living in bondage. And when they preach and teach and live by a works doctrine, they are in bondage. The law creates slaves. Jesus creates free men. The law is bondage. The letter killeth. The letter there is another word for the law. The letter killeth. And the Spirit giveth life. They're in bondage under works. But when the fullness of the time was come, when the maturity came, to use the analogy, when the boy grew up, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law of Moses. He came under the law. And he kept the law perfectly. The law was completely fulfilled in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Completely fulfilled. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Howbeit, then when we knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. You served gods, small g, that have no natural element of deity in them. And there's a lot of people today that are serving small gods that have no element of deity in them. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? He's talking to Galatian Christians that are being peppered with this works theology by the Judaizers. And some of them are falling for it. Oh, we've got to be circumcised like they were under the law of Moses. Oh, we got to keep the law of Moses to be saved. It's not enough that we accepted Christ as Savior. It's not enough that Jesus died on the cross. It's not enough that we put our faith in him. It's not enough that we have the grace of God through faith in Christ. We got to go back to the law. After you've known God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Wherefore you desire to be in bondage? When you go back to the law, you're going back to slavery. When you go back to the law, you're going back to bondage. Is that what you want? You want to go back into bondage? You want to be slaves again? What's wrong with you, Galatians? And then notice, you observe days and months and times and years. Let me read you what John Gill says about this verse. Verse 10. Please listen carefully. By days are meant their seventh day Sabbaths. For since they are distinguished from months and years, they must mean such days as returned weekly. And what else can they be but their weekly Sabbaths? These were peculiar to the Israelites, not binding on others, and being typical of Christ and the true rest of the people, and he being come, are now ceased. He's talking about the Sabbath. You really want to go back to the Sabbath? You want to go back to the law of the Sabbath, which puts you in bondage? The Sabbath. The Judaizing of Christianity in America is taking people by the millions across this country back under the law of Moses. Back to the Sabbath day. And not only that, months. Months are designed their new moons, or the beginning of their months upon the appearance of a new moon, which were kept by blowing trumpets, offering sacrifices, hearing the word of God, abstaining from work, holding religious feasts, and were typical of that light, knowledge, and grace the church receives from Christ, the Son of Righteousness, and he, the substance, being come, these shadows disappeared. These shadows disappeared. The new moons, the months. There are Christian authors, preachers around the country that are making millions of dollars selling books and tapes and videos about new moons, blood moons, this moon, that moon over there, this moon. It's all Judaistic bondage. And it shows the influence and the impact of Judaism inside the church, which is strangling the spiritual power out of it and denying what Jesus did on the cross. By times, John Gill still, are intended the three times of the year when the Jewish males appeared before the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the three feasts of Tabernacles, Passover, and Pentecost, for the observance of which there were now no reason. No reason now to observe these feasts. There are Christians all over the Flathead Valley that are keeping the feasts of Judaism. Not of the Feast of Tabernacles, since the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Nor of the Passover, since Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Nor of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, or the first fruits of the harvest, since the Spirit of God was poured down in a plenteous manner on that day upon the apostles, and when the first fruits of a glorious harvest were brought into the Lord in the conversion of 3,000 souls. All of those were fulfilled in Jesus Christ and what he did in the lives of the church in the book of Acts. Now they're going to go back? They're going to go back to feast days? They're going to go back to years and new moons and blood moons and Sabbaths? It's like Jesus never came. It's like Jesus never died. It's like he never shed his blood. He never rose from the dead. By years are to be understood their sabbatical years. Every seventh year the land had a rest and remained untilled. There were no plowing and sowing, and there was a general release of debtors. And every 50th year was a jubilee to the Lord, when liberty to servants, debtors, etc. was proclaimed throughout the land. All which were typical of rest, payment of debts, and spiritual liberty by Christ, and which have their accomplishment in him. No longer to be observed. All those things that they did, all those observances, all those feasts, all those holy days, all those moons, all those Sabbaths, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Don't you understand that? Verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, speaking of Ishmael and Isaac. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the old covenant, the law of Moses, the new covenant, the redemption of Jesus Christ through faith. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, saying that Hagar, who birthed Ishmael, is in allegory a type of the law. The law which does not bring life. The law which only brought death. Agar, Ishmael, was an allegory of the law. This Agar, Mount Sinai, and Arabia answereth to Jerusalem, which is now... The law, Hagar, Ishmael, the son of bondage, answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. Answereth to who? Say it. Jerusalem. What Jerusalem? Earthly Jerusalem. The Jerusalem that is now. Who answers to that Jerusalem? Hagar. Ishmael. Slaves. Are you beginning to see how far the church has drifted from truth in this country? Does it surprise you then that we are on the verge of losing our political liberties in this country when the church has willingly, willfully, volitionally given up its spiritual liberty in Christ? And is going back to the bondage of the law. And is demanding that others follow them into this bondage. Let me tell you, before we lose our political liberty, we lose our spiritual liberty. And we are losing our spiritual liberty at warp speed. When spiritual liberty is gone, political liberty will soon follow. Answereth to Jerusalem. All these people that worship Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem. The Jerusalem that now is. These people that have made an idol out of the city of Jerusalem. The city that now is. The Israel that now is. The Judaistic, legalistic, Thomas Jefferson called it the deism of the Jews. That's how Jefferson used the term deism. He referred it to the deism of the Jews. This is capturing our churches all over America. They are obsessed with Israel, the current modern Israel, the current modern Jerusalem. Notice verse 20. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The Jerusalem that now is a city that promotes bondage. The Jerusalem that's going to come down from heaven, the Jerusalem from above that is yet to come, is going to provide liberty. Don't confuse the Jerusalem which now is for the Jerusalem which is yet to come from above. the holy Jerusalem, come down from God. And at that point, Israel will be saved in a day. And at that point, the promises that were given to David will be fulfilled, and the kingdom will come to earth. On that day, when that Jerusalem comes out of heaven, there will be freedom in Jerusalem. Until then, it is the city of bondage. And as we saw last week, it's called in Revelation, Babylon. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, and listen to this one right here. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Boy, this Bible is so antiquated, isn't it? Not relevant to anything. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Even so it is now. When you start talking about what I'm talking about now, and I have tried to bring the fellowship up to this point over about a 2-year period, persecution will come against those who stand for the truth. It will come. And I can vouch for that. And this fellowship can vouch for that. The persecution against us has come from those who want to take the church back under the law. There is a cabal of conservative Christian writers that since I have written publicly about this issue in my columns a few times, that are in the process of preparing hit pieces in national publications to discredit and to destroy me, hoping that the various publications and periodicals and websites, and there's hundreds of them that carry my columns, will be intimidated by the threats of these people and will drop me from their publications. I had a supposed Christian conservative writer that if I named him, most of you would know immediately who he is. Write me last week and gave me a veiled threat as to what they were going to do against me. This same man got on the phone and called one of the earliest web publications that I have been on. I have written over 900 columns for that publication. There's not a handful of authors that have written that many columns for this publication. And they have intimidated the owner with threats of boycott and we're not going to read your page anymore. If you don't, as long as you keep Chuck Baldwin on your site, we're not going to support you financially. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I don't think I have ever, all of the stands I've taken, all the positions I've taken, all the issues I've written on, and I have never, ever once put my finger to the wind to see which way you are blowing, or see the way that audience is blowing, or the way the people that read my columns are blowing. I can honestly stand before you and God at this very moment and say, I have never one time pandered my writing or my message for the praise, the acclamation, or the threats and intimidation of anyone, and I'm not starting now. I have had people get angry at things that I've written, but nothing like this. Nothing like this. The Judaizing of Christianity is creating a Judaistic type persecution against true Christians. Just as they were persecuted in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. If they could chop my head off legally, I wouldn't be here today. They would have already chopped my head off. As then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. You Galatian Christians are being persecuted by these Judaizers in Galatia, just as Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And 2,000 years later, we, the descendants, the spiritual descendants of Isaac, are being persecuted by the spiritual descendants of Ishmael. Nothing has changed. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, Ishmael or Hagar, but of the free. Pertaining to verse 29, listen to what Adam Clark wrote. Even so it is now. So the Jews in every place persecuted the Christians and show thereby that they are rather the posterity of Hagar than of Sarah. At Albert Barnes, that is, Christians, the children of the promise, are persecuted by the Jews, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as it is now, and who are uninterested in the promises as Ishmael was. John Gill writes, and even so it is now, the carnal Jews who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, persecuted the spiritual seed that believed in Christ, both by words and deeds. They confiscated their goods, imprisoned their persons, even put them to death. And the false teachers, though they did not and could not go to such lengths, yet as persons fitly represented by Ishmael, they derided the apostles and mocked the doctrines of grace preached by them, and despised those that embraced them, and pleaded that the inheritance belonged to them upon the foot of the works of the law. So it is this day, though there's no persecution of men's persons and estates. Again, this was written in the mid-1800s. Yet there were never a greater persecution of the doctrines of grace and of the righteousness of Christ, and the saints more mocked at and derided for maintaining them than that by persons just of the same complexion as those of the apostles' time, signified by Ishmael, carnal professors, and self-righteous persons. These people who are filled with pride and ego and arrogance, who dare to say, I am keeping the law. Look how good I am. Look how righteous I am. Look how holy I am. And we are not holy and we are not righteous. We are all sinners before a holy, righteous God. We all need the grace and the mercy of God through the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will all split hell wide open. I care not what your religion is. I care not what your piety is. I care not how good you think you are, how righteous you are, and how much you trust in the law. You come to God the Father through Jesus Christ, or you don't come. Stand fast. Verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking primarily about the liberty of the gospel and the bondage of Judaism, or the bondage of the law. Be not entangled again. Your Sabbaths, your new moons, your festivals, your feasts. And as Christians, you go back to that like Jesus never came. Going back to bond. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, verse 2, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you go out here and you submit to Jewish circumcision, Christ has profited you nothing. You go back to the law of Moses, Christ has promised, has given you nothing, has profited you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. You going to try to live under the law, buddy? You got to remember, you got to keep the whole law. Every jot, every tittle. You don't have the luxury to break the ones you want to break and keep the ones you want to keep and then piously look at us and tell us we need to go back under the law like you are. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That, what does it mean, fallen from grace? It's talking about people that are going back under the Mosaic law. You're repudiating the grace of God. You're going back to the works of the law. But, hey, am I saying anything that's not in here? Come on.
No.
Okay. It's all in the book. For if we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. Circumcision or no circumcision, doesn't matter. Day or month or year, doesn't matter. Matters not. It availeth nothing. Ye did run well, ye Galatian Christians. You ran well. You started out in the gospel. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. You didn't get this from God. Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Can I get an amen on that one? Well, you better believe it. You get a little poison spirit in a fellowship, and it will infect the whole fellowship if you're not careful. A little leaven. You got a barrel of good apples. you put a bag, just a little bag of rotten apples in that barrel of good apples, and those good apples are not going to make those rotten apples good, but those rotten apples will make those good apples rotten in no time. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You've allowed these Judaizing, legalistic people come into your churches, and they have created doubt and confusion and disharmony and disunity, and they're telling you got to go back to the law. They're telling you to look at the current city, the city that now is in Jerusalem. They're putting you back under the law of Moses. And they're corrupting the church. The churches of America today are being corrupted by these legalistic, Judaizing people who promote the false doctrine that we are saved through works. And the church is being corrupted into a works-oriented gospel. God is not in it. These people are not saved. It is pagan error sending people to hell and causing this great nation to lose the liberty which is based on the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people call themselves freedom lovers. They don't even realize what they're doing. They're undergirding the very principles of liberty in our country. Denying the gospel of Christ, replacing it with works. If any of you think you're having a hard time this week, I'll let you come by and read my emails that I'm going to get this week, okay? I'll just let you see that one day's worth. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I promise you that these people that are causing trouble in the church and are trying to take us back under the law, who has a false doctrine about the earthly Jerusalem, these people are going to bear the judgment that they deserve. Mark it down. God promises, he shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. The devil may have wanted to use those who chose to separate from Liberty Fellowship as a negative. God chose to use it as a positive. I would that they were cut off which troubled you. Cut them off. Get them out of the church. They're poison. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul said, here's the whole law, a whole Mosaic law, 633 commandments, 10 commandments on Mount Sinai. Here's, reduce it into one word or one saying: love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, in closing, take your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. I want to show you how this was handled by the apostles. Nothing new about it. What happened in the churches of Galatia happened at the church in Jerusalem and in Judea. It was such a contention and such a divisiveness. The apostles all met together in Jerusalem in council to discuss the matter. Chapter 1 of verse 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. There they are. Trying to put the church under the law. Deacon Stephen, in his final message before they stoned him in Acts 7, referred to it as the covenant of the circumcision. Unless ye are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, you could substitute circumcision for a number of things. You can take any of the points of the law and say, unless you do this or unless you don't do that, you cannot be saved. And that's what people are preaching all over America today. Works, 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 works. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. All by the law of Moses, or you can't be saved. You can't be saved, can't be saved, can't be saved. Works, salvation. Verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, the Judaizers, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and unto the apostles and elders about this question. Skip down to verse 15. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You better worship on Saturday. Sabbath. You better observe the moons. You better observe the feast days. The years. The Sabbath years. You better do it! Command them to keep the law of Moses. Commanding who? The church. The believers. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall to hear that one. After there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You read that in Acts 10. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, comparing the Acts 10 experience with the Acts 2 experience. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts, Gentiles, by faith. No difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. They all come to God through faith in Christ. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Hear, hear. Simon Peter said, what in the world are you trying to do to put people back under the yoke of bondage, a yoke that our fathers couldn't bear and neither could we? Be honest with yourself. You couldn't bear up under that law any more than I could. And now you want to put us back under the yoke? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Through the what? Through the what are we saved?
Grace.
Say it. Through the what?
Grace.
Not works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters of them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Oh, Syria. I'll move on. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And they spread the letters to the churches and told them, don't listen to these Judaizers. Don't listen to these works, false prophets. Don't listen to these people that are telling you you've got to go back under the law of Moses to be saved. So this goes back all the way to the beginning of the church. This is not new. What we're dealing with is just the modern manifestation of something that is as old as the church itself. The devilish attempt to use false teachers to corrupt the church with the false doctrine of works salvation. You need to be aware of this. Except for the command to remember the Sabbath. I'll say it again for those on the camera to make sure they hear it. Except for the command to remember the Sabbath, every one of the Ten Commandments has been declared under the New Covenant in the context of grace and truth. Every single command of the Ten, except for this, remember the Sabbath, which we are not under the Sabbath law, has been declared in the New Covenant in the context of grace and faith. Not in the context of works, but in the context of grace. The Judaizing of Christianity is putting the church and our country in bondage. Do you know, I hear from Christians, pastors, and I don't know how many of these pastors are saying this publicly, but they're saying it in private communication. And I've received much of this communication. And they're saying they want to enforce Mosaic punishments in America today. Adulterers stoned to death. Homosexuals stoned to death. Children that backtalk their parents stoned to death. Oh, I just saw some kids hit the floor. Sit up, kids. It's all right. You're safe. Your mom and dad take care of you later. It's all right. Really? I'm not talking about just one or two. There are thousands of preachers across this country that want to institute Mosaic criminal penalty in our country today. Who does that sound like? Come on. Who does that sound like? That sounds like Saudi Arabia and Sharia law. I hear these people, oh, we can't have Sharia law. But you want to institute Mosaic law, which will do many of the same things that Sharia law would do. One in the name of Muhammad and the other in the name of Moses. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Old Testament was written for our learning. From the Old Testament, we learn God's principles of natural law, even though they aren't taught today much. We learn God's principles of government. We learn God's principles of nations. We learn of the examples of obedience and courage and faithfulness and promises and blessings and cursing. We learn from the Old Testament. I suppose if I were to go back and look at the messages that I preach from Liberty Fellowship here, I would venture a guess and say that half of my messages come from the Old Testament and the other half from the New Testament. There is much for us to learn from the Old Testament, not the least of which the law in the Old Testament is our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's stand for a word of prayer.